Luke chapter 11. Do you listen to people when they pray? We'll call on somebody to pray, and we hear them pray, and sometimes it's interesting the things that they will say or how they pray. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus was praying, and the apostles were listening as he prayed. And as he prayed, I imagine them looking toward him with awe. You know what I mean? When he just look at him just in awe of his prayer. And when he finishes Luke chapter 11, that's not fair. We skipped a song. That's why we're ahead of time. It came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. They had heard him pray, and it touched their hearts. They were, I guess you say, fascinated. Because especially in that culture, you know, God was so far removed. Even today in some religions, the idea that you would talk to God is not acceptable. But you need a mediator. You need somebody who can hear your burden and take it to God on your behalf. Well, we call them priests in the Bible. And we are called, the Bible says, to be priests. We represent the people to God. I pray for you. I'm a priest on your behalf. When you pray for me, you're my priest. And so we confess our faults one to another, we share our burdens, and then you carry those to God on our behalf. But Jesus, being the Son of God, among these others who had no idea that you could do that, was talking to God. Now, of course, there would be people who cry out and say, oh, God, help me. As we see back in Egypt, they cried and the Lord heard their cry. But Jesus talked to the Father in like a conversation. Someone told me a long time ago, they said, Brother Derek, when you talk to God, it's like you're talking to somebody. I said, 'cause I am. But we need to have that mindset when we are talking to God, when we are praying, that he is somebody. That he's someone who loves us intimately. He's our Father. And Jesus, our mediator, the Bible says he is the mediator between God and man. When we pray because we are saved. We pray in Christ, in the name of Jesus. And so that prayer travels to God. Well, of course, we know we have the Holy Spirit within us as children of God. And Romans chapter 8 and verse 26 says that the Holy Ghost makes groanings of intercession on our behalf for those infirmities that we have that we don't even know how to pray about it. How many of us have ever been in a situation we didn't know how to pray? I recall one time a friend of mine called. He said, Pastor, my father's dying. Or my father was just rushed to the hospital by ambulance. And as I began to pray that prayer, God made it clear to my heart that the prayer should not be to save that man because that was already over. He was gone. But that I should pray for the peace of the family, for the comfort of the family. So while I approached God to ask for this man's life, God made it clear that was not a prayer that would be answered positively. And so he changed the direction of my heart and my prayer. It's always important. And how many of us have ever gone to talk to somebody and we could tell by the look on their face that what we were going to say shouldn't be said? It's the same thing in prayer. When we approach God with the Holy Ghost inside of us, there is a communion, there's a fellowship there that tells us internally not to say what we were going to say. Just like if we were talking to somebody face to face. And so we have the Holy Ghost who groans intercessions for us that we don't know how to pray. We don't know what to say. We don't know how to say it. And so the Holy Spirit takes care of that for us. And then we see the apostles, they say, teach us to pray. What he said and the way he said it was foreign to them. They didn't just start mimicking what he did. They said, Lord, tell us how it's done right. Tell us how to pray the right way. They didn't know how to pray. So they wanted a pattern. They asked for a model. Tell us how. Teach us how. They didn't know how to start it. They didn't know how to finish it. They didn't know what to say in between. Teach us. Teach us how to pray. What a privilege we have. One that we probably abuse at times and neglect at other times, to talk to God. I've shared with you about some recent things in my life where I was kind of at the end of my wits as to what to do. And I thought, I don't know what to do. And I said, God, what do I do? And it occurred to me, I hadn't talked to God about it yet. And then when I talked to God, guess what happened? It got fixed. It got answered immediately. I mean, like the same day. When I had been holding off for months just trying to figure out what to do. But we get so caught up in our own ability, and that's good that we're, you know, self-reliant. But we should never become unreliant when it comes to God. We need to rely on God. Talk to God. Remember King Asa. The Bible says he had a disease in his feet, and he what? He died. And why? Because he didn't pray. He went to the physicians, but he didn't pray. Bible's not against doctors and hospitals and medicine, but pray. And that's what the Bible teaches us. We have a privilege to approach God, the Almighty, to express our desires, to appeal to His love and His mercy, for the extreme and the mundane. Who in here has ever paid for or prayed for a paperclip? Anybody? Trying to find something? So same kind of mundane thing. Just insignificant. But you were looking for it and couldn't find it. And so you prayed. I don't know if that paperclip was there before or if God snuck it in. I don't know. But here's what I know is that when I ask God, it's there. For the extreme and the mundane, whatever is on our hearts, honesty, transparency, sincerity. The word intimacy we've broken down to say into me see. We talk to God. We're not hiding anything, not that we could, but we're not trying to hide it. We're not trying to disguise it or cover it up or flower it up. We just want to be honest with God. To intercede for our friends and family and strangers. For supply. For direction, in repentance, and in hope. Praise, and I don't know about you, but I enjoy fellowship with God. Just laughing and talking. Did you see that? That kind of stuff. Just praising God and spending time with Him. Communion. Why did God make man? Fellowship. Communion, friendship. That's why He made us. Teach us to pray. Hey, John taught his disciples. Can you hear him saying that? John taught his disciples to pray. Over there at that church, they're learning it. How come we don't learn in this church? How come they're teaching over there, but they're not teaching over here? Teach us. And Jesus said, when you pray. That's an invitation. That's an expectation. When you pray. When you pray, pray. How often do we pray? How long do we pray? For whom do we pray? I believe we ought to pray when we go to bed. We ought to pray when we get out of bed. Wake up in the middle of the night, pray some more. Eli told Samuel that if you hear the voice, just say, here I am. Here am I, Lord. And that's what he did. There's an invitation, expectation to pray. And so he begins with honor. He said, when you pray, say, our Father which art in heaven. Who are we talking to? Guys, I know that when we talk about God, we say the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But Jesus gave us a pattern for prayer. And I've had people around me, they say, let me pray, and they start to pray, and they say, Holy Spirit. But you know, the Bible doesn't tell us to pray to the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Bible doesn't tell us to pray to Jesus. The Bible tells us one to address, and that is our Father. You say, well, you're dividing the Trinity. No, I'm not. I'm just trying to be biblical. The Bible says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Honor him. Honor him. Praise him. Understand who it is we're approaching here. Submit to his will. Cooperate with him. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. How many of us want God's will to be done? And let me ask you this. Does prayer change God? Prayer changes us. If you're going to pray for missionaries, watch out. Because God's got one on the hook right then. We pray for missionaries. God sends someone into the field. Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth workers. The field's wide on the harvest. Yes, pray for that. Because I tell you, one of the workers is praying when you do that. It's our job. So what it's doing is conditioning our heart and making us understand and increasing our burden and helping us to understand what our part is when we pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And thy kingdom, we talked about the kingdom of heaven this morning, the kingdom of God, thy kingdom, you know, the kingdom is here. The kingdom is not there, the kingdom is here. The kingdom is us. He said to the Pharisees and the scribes, he said, y'all don't let anybody in the kingdom of heaven, and you don't enter into the kingdom. He wasn't talking about going to that place. He was talking about being under God's control here. Submitted to God, submission to God, cooperation with God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, talking about that place, right? So in earth. God's will would be followed here. And then for our needs. It's okay to pray for your needs. Give us this day our daily bread, what we need. It's not just bread. It might be the power bill or the rent or the car payment or the insurance or whatever it might be, but it's okay to ask for it. I remember a financial need among that church, don't you? Somebody came to Jesus and said, we didn't pay the taxes. We got to pay the taxes. Jesus said, Peter, you like to fish? Go to the water and when you catch a fish, look in his mouth. Pulled out a coin out of a fish. He said, whose name's on that coin? Caesar. He said, pay your taxes. You see? God expects us to ask for our needs, whatever they are. Trust him and ask. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Someone asked me not long ago, said, Pastor, why do we talk about sin all the time? Why do we have to ask forgiveness of sin? When I got saved, he washed away my sins. You're right, he did. He forgave me of my sins, all the ones I ever committed, the ones that I was in then, and all the ones I would ever commit. And they're all nailed to the cross. They're all washed by the blood. You're right, that's true. Jesus gave us a pattern. Jesus said, when you pray, confess. When you pray, ask forgiveness. But don't just ask forgiveness. Consider the forgiveness you've extended to others. He said, ask for forgiveness according to what you're willing to extend to others. Isn't that what he said? Forgive us as we have forgiven others. Those who are indebted to us. And then he says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What does that prayer sound like? God, keep me out of trouble. God, take control of my mind, of my eyes, of my body, of my emotions. Don't let me get angry. Don't let me get silly. Don't let me get distracted. Don't let me go where I shouldn't go. Don't let me be around people I shouldn't be around. Lead me not into temptation. I know God's not going to lead me to temptation. Because God doesn't want me where I'm going to sin. And temptation is just one step away from sin. But what I'm doing is I'm asking God to condition my heart and my life so that I don't get myself in those situations and deliver us from evil. Why would he say that? Again, there is a percentage of time where we're not bringing the trouble on ourselves, but others are bringing that trouble to our lives. But there's also this. There's also the times where God doesn't lead us to temptation, but we go anyway. This is the hard part for people to comprehend. And they'll say, well, God always says he won't give us more than we can handle. That's in the Bible to an extent. But you know what I found about people? Most of the time when they got into something they couldn't handle, they weren't listening to God. God didn't put them in that situation. They put themselves in that situation. And they want to turn around and blame God for it. Well, God won't give me more than I can handle. Stop taking more than you can handle. That's the problem. He goes on and he says, of course, Luke only gives us this portion. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For what? Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So again, ending with praise, ending with exaltation, ending with honor. And then go down to verse number 10, if you will, and look at what he says. He says, everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be open. Verse 13, if ye then being evil, that's some way to talk to your church, isn't it? Let's face it, every one of us in this room has the capacity for wickedness. Every one of us has the capacity to do awful and terrible things. If ye then, being evil or having the capacity to do evil, know how to give good gifts. How many of us know how to give good gifts? How to be kind and generous? How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You see, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. His blessings extend beyond our imagination. That's why it's so important for us to just trust him. Not worry, just trust him. Something comes up, God, I give it to you. Something's wrong with your car, God, this is your car. I don't know what you're going to do about it, but your motor's making noises. Your transmission's not acting right, Lord. Right? Lord, your water heater's in there bouncing around. I don't know what's causing that, but I sure would appreciate it if you'd get it taken care of. And we say that with some jests, but understand, everything you've got as a child of God, you are a steward of that. It's not yours. It's been entrusted to you. From the little things to the biggest things. We are stewards. And so when we pray, we should pray in that way. Father, we love you and we're thankful for the fact that you taught them and gave us the example of how to pray. That we ought to pray, that we're expected to pray, and that we can ask for anything. We need to trust you for the outcome. We need to rely on you completely. God, we pray that you will live through us, work through us, accomplish your will in our lives. That souls will be saved, that lives will be changed. God, that revival would break out in each of us and carry to those around us, that they would see Jesus in us and that they would ask of the hope that is in us. For our country, for our military, for our veterans, for our shut-ins, those who are hospitalized in homes and rehab and shut-in, those who are just not able to do what they would desire to do, I pray that you would give them strength. Show us your heart and live through us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.